everybody, it's Nick and Griffin, the Bad Boys of Comedy Video Game Design, here back at it again with another Cool Game Sync, episode 28. Hi, Nick.
Hi, it's 29. I'm Nick.
So that's some of the hard comedy that we're going to bring to the table. Sometimes we do the numbers.
Do the numbers wrong? It's fun. It's part of our whole irreverent style, I think, that we don't get pressed over some stupid numbers.
We're going to come at you a little bit harder this time than maybe you're used to. With a little bit more just sort of random, irreverent South Park humor. I don't know if you've noticed, Nick, but you and I have developed a sort of persona for Golden Online.
Mm-hmm.
Of whenever we do anything together, like you and I could get together and do a YouTube video where we deliver a eulogy for a friend that has passed,
yeah.
And all of the comments would be like, love these soft, sweet boys.
Right. And we need to, you're saying you want to swing the pendulum in the other direction and get a little, grit it up a bit.
I just want our pH balance to be balanced.
Right.
I don't want to come at these folks, these nice folks that are listening and supporting us. I don't want to be too acidic, but right now we are absolute base.
Basic.
And I want to be dangerous a little bit, you know?
We're a little too basic right now, you could say.
I just want to be a little bit unpredictable. I don't want because I think there's a lot of people who comment, they see we post a thing, and they're like, soft boys. And if they stop to watch it, like, well, they don't know who we talk about. We could have gotten really rowdy and random in there.
That's true.
So let's just keep that in mind this episode and just try to be just a little, you know, a little, I can't even pretend.
No,
I can't even pretend.
You can't even pretend to be just an edgy, come on, give me a little bit of that South Park humor that you love so dearly.
Well, I know a lot of people like to joke about, like, Harambe, but it's sad to me.
Mm. See, if you can't get over the Harambe hump, that's what they call it. In writers' rooms down in Los Angeles, they kind of, on your first week on Family Guy, they're like, if you can't get over that Harambe hump, they kick you out. That's kind of
I don't think I made it. I don't think I'm made for the Holly weird world.
Seemingly not, but.
It's sad to me that the gorilla perished. Well, how did we do with our video game last week on Cool Games Inc. episode 27?
You're talking about Thuds?
Yeah, dog.
Thuds was an interesting one.
Okay, well, tell me
and here's
everything.
Why. Everybody who played it loved it.
Okay.
But I think, and we probably could have seen this coming, the name was a big stumbling block for a lot of critics and a lot
like
of players.
At least one of us did see it coming.
Yeah, it might have been me. I definitely remember saying.
No one's quite sure because we erased episode 27.
Right.
So nobody actually has anymore. So we can't go back and listen to who it was.
So who knows? But I definitely remember saying at one point, Griffin, we can't just call it Thuds. That doesn't really communicate the WarioWare inspiration. You know, like every Dark Souls knockoff game has some Souls-ish word in the title these days. We probably should have put in where.
We should have put in where in there. Puddingware would have been a good name too, but we didn't think about that.
We gotta alternate, do a food game every other week. So Puddingware will be maybe 29.
Yeah, well let's see if we can.
This is 29. 30. 30.
No organic promises, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, no promise. It's got to be organic. I'm sorry, my kitty's meowing at me. I don't know if you can hear him, but I. What if he's injured? What if he's been hurt somehow?
This is that Harambe hump again, Griffin. It's actually affecting the podcast. You care for animals more than you care for our listeners, more than you care for me.
Let's start doing some suggestions. What do you say?
Sure. Here's one from Sweet Zard on Twitter, who says procedurally generated cha-cha slide. Now you're
oh my god, this is great. This could be like a fun folk game of just like slide to the left, slide to the left,
slide to the left,
slide to the right.
See?
Well,
my concern would be like to the left. Take it back now, y'all. 179 hops this time. Like we would have to put a limiter on it to prevent it from going.
Well, that's not how the song works. The song doesn't stack the integers on top because otherwise it'd be like, it does, I guess. Three hops this time.
Yeah,
shit.
At one point, there's a like 10 hops this time, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm thinking of Cha-Cha Slide Part 2. Does it ever come out? Because there's definitely a moment where he's like, he says the Casper Slide Part 2. He does a little teaser at the end.
The Casper Slide?
That's what he calls it in the song.
He calls it the Casper Slide?
It's weird. Go back and listen. It's different from how you remember it. It's kind of a Berenstain Bear situation. I guess I feel like we would need it to be, we couldn't have it be completely random. You know what I mean? We need some sort of control to the algorithm.
Well, no, because think of it this way. What type of space could this dance take place in? Because if you do it in a rectangular dance hall,
yeah,
maybe
you're
at
right.
a wedding, and it's like, take it back now, y'all. take it back now, y'all. Take it back now, y'all. Right. Like, oh, shit. Like, oh, no, we're, like, we're on top of the bride and groom's table right now. Yeah, we've just knocked it over to make room for the dance space.
I think we're going to have to collaborate with the Roomba manufacturers and see what algorithm they're using.
Yeah,
and maybe
work
that
in. So if you,
in.
Like, are at the proximity wall, it's like, okay, no more take it back now,
or,
y'all.
Or, yeah, if you bump up against some sort of object that would make you fall, it just really quickly goes, to the left, to the left. And then you're turned around 180 degrees and you're safe. This is good. I like this.
This could be really fun.
There's an endurance component to it too. So if you're playing solo, which is a little, kind of a sad image, but if you're playing alone, there's kind of a how long can you go? And maybe we have it operate under the Bop It rule set, so it speeds up over time. It gets harder and harder.
How does everybody clap your hands factor into? That's the thing. Like, that's to me, that's the climax of the Casper slide.
Yeah, the cha-cha slide. We'll just call it the cha-cha slide. It's regional, okay. I think.
Yeah, it's like soda or pop or bagos.
Right. I remember I went to a prom once in a state that was not my own.
Interesting.
And the way that the people at that dance reacted to certain parts of the cha-cha slide were different than they were in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So,
the part where it's like, how low can you go? That's like... I have no idea what people are going to do. Some people like bump it and grind it.
Likewise,
some people do a little crab walk situation. Some people just lie down on the floor and they shake violently.
A little crab court. There's also Charlie Brown, which is like not instructional.
That's not anything. Yeah.
Susie Q.
That's not a dance move.
Charles Schultz. Do you have any suggestions you'd like to explore?
I really want to just kind of.
I know. I shouldn't have started the show with a showstopper like this. We could have saved this for last.
I really like this one from Emotion Side B. By the way, have you dipped in?
Not yet.
Dog.
I got it. My shirt, my Carly Rae Jepsen shirt, I got on her tour at the San Francisco location.
Yeah, I got the same shirt here in the Austin location. We should sync those up someday.
We should.
Wear them at the same time when we record.
We do our first like Skype video episode of Cool Games Inc. and we're both conspicuously wearing the same CRJ
same
merch.
Rae Jepsen, yeah.
I need to be wearing it while I listen to it, so I haven't dipped in yet.
It's eight bangers, 8 out of 8 bangers. Like,
jeez,
these B sides are better than basically everybody else's A sides.
that's Carly though, huh?
That's Carly. That's how she do it. Anyway, Emotion Side B, which is Good Soy Bun on Twitter, says boy band maker like style savvy trendsetters, but for boy bands, choose the names, the style, the themes, etc. This is so good. I'm imagining a sort of rhythm game RPG.
Uh huh.
With a bit of Lemonade Stand Simulator in there, only instead of lemonade, it's boys, and they're singing and dancing.
Okay, I do like that. I think also, like, we've kind of had a boy band revival in the past 2 or 3 years, you know what I mean? Or even longer than that. So, like, obviously we have the 90s options in there, that's a no-brainer, but then we've also got your One Direction type boy bands. We've also got your sort of K-pop acts. We've got...
I wanted
to span all flavors. And maybe we divided up Nintendog style into different breeds of boy band on different cartridges.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I like that money, but I don't think we're going to have you recreate 1D. As I call them, firsted. I think you make your own sort of thing, and then you have like different meters, so it's like there's a big market share out there for just really, really very cute boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so you add a fifth member to your boy band, which is called Sunshine Guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a fifth member. They had four members. They're like, we're happy to announce. And you have to like draft a press release. We're happy to announce we've got a fifth member joining us. And his name is like Little Dez.
Dez is a good name for him.
Hi, guys. I'm Little Dez. And you get to design Dez's style,
mm-hmm.
Singing skills. There's special singing skills, which you can unlock with new scrolls. And then you get them all on stage together and you have to do like a performance using the rhythm game. And I think it's like you get one shot. And if you turn it off, it saves as a failure. Because, like, we got to set high
stakes. We'll have a Fire Emblem save system in there where you can maybe quick save, but once you load that quick save, the save
gets
deleted.
It's gone, yeah. You put it on, and if you do good, you earn more money, and you can use that to upgrade your boys with augmentations.
I think also, literal augs, like machinery augs, because that could be a fun direction to take it. Get some Deus Ex action
in there. Should have called the band Fun Direction.
They should have called their band Fun Direction. We could call our game Fun Direction. Because I think, like, don't misunderstand. When I mentioned the different styles, you're free to remake existing bands if you want, but I think we want this tool to be so robust that you can make and NSYNC, but then you can also make a Big Bang, and you can make everything in between. You can have a rap element to it if you like. I think that this idea.
Oh, and then the competitive mode, definitely competitive multiplayer. Like, you would definitely make your boy band like fight against other people's boy bands
directly or indirectly. How do you picture that?
It could be asynchronous. Yeah, definitely asynchronous.
How about very directly? How about they charge into each other like a Roman battle, and they just run at each other? Because that could be
so
fun.
That's something you got to kind of keep in mind. Is like, in addition to like, I want to. Little Dez is like, spin is at 9, mm-hmm. sing, tenor, 6. Not great, but not too bad. Cuteness, 10, like best, like triple S.
Cuteness, 10. Armor, 5.
Armor, 5.
That's a problem.
So that's a problem, is if Little Dez gets in a fight.
I think that's a fun line to have to straddle as the player, is striking this balance between making a boy band that is cute and is also well protected. And so if he's wearing like a sort of feathery V-neck, it's extremely lightweight, that's a lot of cuteness points right there, but it's not very protective
did we just go ahead and develop Fire Emblem Tokyo Mirage Sessions though,
in a way, but this is sort of a Western take on it, a more 1D friendly.
You know, it's a bummer is I got that game and I was so excited for it, and then I realized that you could not play it completely on the Wii U gamepad. It's one of those games where like the gamepad only shows like your menu and you have to actually look at the TV to play it.
Right.
I haven't played it very much because of that.
Huh.
And I kind of realized that, I guess I only really play Wii U games on the gamepad screen when I'm doing other stuff.
You're going to love the NX then, from the sound of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping. That's what I'm genuinely psyched for it for that exact reason. All right. How about another suggestion? This one's a fucking good one, too. So far, 2 of 2.
Yeah, 2 out of 2. We're hitting it out of the park. Here's one from here's one from Solvent Grandma on Twitter, who says, a Nintendogs game, but with the demons from Doom.
Okay.
So, I mean, have you played Doom 2016, Griffin?
Yeah, I played it.
Okay.
I didn't finish it, but I got to hell or heck.
Right. Let's call it heck for the purposes of this podcast. I know we've got that big red E next to our songs on iTunes now.
I got to the part where like Satan, like just a big Satan was one of the enemies.
Yeah. Well, there's a few to choose from, right?
There's Angry Ball. There's Big Satan. There's Jetpack Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the way Nintendogs split it up, right, was you would get 2 breeds per pack. So you could get...
Well, not exactly. There were 2 featured breeds, but there'd be multiple.
Okay. Well, so multiple versions. There's the Hellraiser, the Imp, the Lost Soul, the Mancubus, the Cybermancubus, Cyberdemon, Cockodemon.
One of them's called Mancubus?
Mancubus. That's actually a throwback to one. It's the... Do you remember the enemy that's just got a big, big belly? Got big. He's the one who you rip his heart out and put it in his mouth.
He's called a Mancubus.
That's a Mancubus. It's a good name, huh?
Shit, dog.
Yeah,
that's a really good name.
What's a Cyber Mancubus then? Oh, it's just him, but he's got robot stuff on.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Who? So you like the ball guy? Is that who you'd want to be petting in this
situation? I like the angry ball, and I'd love to take care of one of those. Mm. But I take him on walks and stuff, and maybe we find coupons or something. I don't remember Nintendogs very well.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember? Because Doom has those things that are just those giant skulls with demon horns that come flying at your face.
Yeah.
I'd love to tame one of those because they're so rowdy. They're probably
cute, yeah.
They're cute and they're rowdy.
What's the cutest demon? Probably Mancubus.
Maybe. He's got that cute tummy, but there's... What are the orb guys called? Is that an imp? No, the imps are the fireball ones.
I think they're called Madballs with a Z.
Right. They're licensed Madballs. Well, there's the possessed scientists that don't do any, like, damage. You know, those guys, they're just kind of like... Woo-hoo.
But that's slavery if you just have one of them.
I guess so.
And they live in your 3DS.
The Revenant could be fun. He's the jetpack guy. Get him going. Cockodemon. Cockodemons are those big orbs with all those nasty, nasty teeth, a big mouth in there, and the dangling arms. That could be fun. There's one...
In the original Doom, they were called Madballs with a Z.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I understand that they probably would want to change. I think they weren't able to renew the license. It was like when Monkey Ball had to take all the Dole stickers off the bananas. They had to un-Madballs the Cockodemon.
Yeah. How about this one? And it was sent in by Andrew Owens, Andrew T. Owens on Twitter. It says, 9 Lives: Origins, the video game prequel to the hit Kevin Spacey blockbuster 9 Lives.
Oh, can you quickly recap that film for me?
Oh, you genuinely don't know, or is this a shoot?
I missed 9 Lives.
He gets turned into a cat by Christopher Walken.
No, he doesn't.
And you really aren't?
That's a real movie?
It's out now. You could go to it. You could hang up on this Skype call and go watch it in theaters now.
No, there's not a new movie where Kevin Spacey gets turned into a cat.
I can't tell if this is a work or not.
I'm not joking. I can't tell if you're joking.
Kevin Spacey, I guess, is like real shitty to his family. And so Christopher Walken turns him into a cat, and he turns him into the family cat. And apparently, I read a review, apparently during this whole period, Kevin Spacey's man body, his mancubus body, is comatose, and his family like struggles with the decision of whether or not to sort of unplug him.
What?
And that is like the timer for him to work out his moral issues while in feline form.
Holy shit. Like most movies where like, the teen and the mom switched body. Like most of them don't really deal with the hardcore logistics.
Most of them don't have a loss condition.
Right. Yeah. I like that they fully logicked it out. They're like, okay, but what happens to Kevin's body?
Right.
That matter has to go somewhere. It turns out it stays there. He gets knocked out.
Well, and when they find his body, he's naked, and he's midway shitting in a litter box. And he's like, they find him, and like, oh, our dad is very sick.
Dude, I'm escalating this to me being 75% sure that you're telling the truth.
That part was a lie.
I can't, but like, why would that be false and the rest of it true? Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing about this ought to exist.
The weird thing is they don't show the scene. The movie got a weird edit because the scene where Christopher Spacey, which is their Super Saiyan fusion.
Now, is that in the movie? Do they combine at any point? Because
The scene where Christopher Walken transforms Kevin Spacey into the cat got cut from the theatrical release of Nine Lives. And so it's just like in one scene, he's a man who's probably a lawyer and he's neglecting his family. And in the next scene, he's a cat, and they just don't explain the damn thing.
The whole premise of the movie, you mean?
Right.
They cut
and
that
so
out.
I think in the video game, it's rife with potential to
fill that in,
to fill in the gaps a little.
Okay. All right. I like
so this
is sort of a middle chapter. Kind of a here's what you missed.
In media res, yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be of the deleted scene from Nine Lives where Christopher Walken turns Kevin Spacey into a cat for being such a shithead to his children and wife.
I just wonder how long is that? Are you imagining like a 90-minute like sort of art game?
No, it's like you download it on your iPad and then it's over with.
Okay.
Maybe it's just the scene from the movie, but you have to press buttons or else the app crashes. You never see that functionality, do you?
Mm-mm.
I mean, that was essentially what I just described, the functionality of literally every Sega CD game, which is like, press right. Well, you didn't press right.
That's it. Game over.
The disc stopped spinning.
And it won't start. I don't want to play this game.
All right. Do you want to talk about it, though?
Sure. I guess we don't have to be in love with every game we sell.
No, I hate this game. Fuck it. Let's move on.
Okay. Here's one from Pat Baer who says, a DDR-style game that rewards you for being off rhythm. Now that seems very challenging.
That seems so hard.
I've got
perfect rhythm. So
yeah, I could see why that would be a problem for you. I have some friends who are pretty like competitive DDR players, and I've seen them they have tournaments like this where it's something called Great Attack, where like perfects are the best note you can get in DDR.
Oh my god, that's so great. That would be so hard.
Greats are like the second best note you can get in DDR, so your goal, because at the end it shows you how many excellence you got, how many perfects, how many greats, how many goods, how many misses. Your goal is to get the most greats against other players who are trying to do it. So in a sense, this actually sort of exists already, but I guess how would we gussy this up? Like, DDR has great attacks augmented into it by the players. What if we made a game around it? How would that surface?
I mean, if DDR has like... DDR would be too easy, I think, if you're just trying to miss everything, because you can actually see when the notes are coming at you.
Right.
I was thinking of more of like a Crypt of the Necrodancer, where you have to do it on like, you have to do it in 3-4 time while the game is moving at 4-4 time. No, that wouldn't math out because you would end up hitting
There is an item you can get in Necrodancer, though, where you're skipping every fourth note.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, the problem with this is we could also just include this as a mode in Boys too Cute to Be Real, the video game simulator of boy bands.
Oh, so there's a rhythm game component. It's like a Project Diva vibe.
Yeah, I told you this, that you, where you can fight your friends and you train your boys.
I just got so hung up on the idea, I guess, of actually them fighting. that I forgot about the competitive hardcore rhythm. What kind of, because there's so many types of rhythm game out there now, Griffin.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of format do you want to
I would probably model it after the only good rhythm game, which was Guitaru Man for the PlayStation 2.
Why has there not been another analog stick pointed in a direction-based rhythm game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was Guitaru Man Lives for the PSP, which they printed about 13 copies.
Wasn't that a port of Guitaru Man?
Yeah, it was an exact literal
cool
port.
So if I want to play Guitar Man at an even lower resolution than the PS2,
I'm not fucking kidding you, every time I go to a video game store that sells used video games, look for Guitar Man, not present, not there.
Do you have a PSP to play it with? Like
No, I look for the PS2 version.
Oh, gotcha.
How about this one? And it was sent in by Drew Davenport, the Davenporter. Thank you, Drew. Says, use the prey mechanic of controlling inanimate objects to drive history's greatest minds insane. Just one point of clarification here. Prey, the upcoming game from Arkane. Mm-hmm. It's going to be published by Bethesda. They showed it off a bit at QuakeCon, which I went to, earlier this month. You aren't controlling inanimate objects.
Okay.
You are literally turning into them. So you look at a cop. Do you know anything about Prey?
No, I just saw that trailer during E3. I didn't see any of the QuakeCon stuff, but I'm assuming how it works is
it looks tight as fuck.
Tell me if this is right. You turn into, for example, like an alarm clock, and then you have about 30 minutes, I guess, to decide what to do while your family takes your body and decides whether or not to put you down permanently. Is that how it works?
No. So you're on this space station and there's bad aliens on the space station. And they want to kill you. First of all, one of the aliens is called a mimic and it can just be anything.
What the?
How's your fucking scary ass game? Because you're walking and like pointing your gun and shooting every object.
That rules.
Every trash can, everything, thinking it's
I love
be
the
alien.
Idea of like mimics as you see them in like Souls games and RPGs. They're usually just a treasure chest with big scary teeth, but like a game where anything
like
can be.
This demo was like every minute. Like five things jump out to try to kill you.
That's one of those rare ideas where I'm like, I kind of wish we came up with that before they did.
Here's the second great idea they came up with. You get that power at a certain point in the game, and so you can mimic any object, and you can use that to solve puzzles. So like, there's one where there's a desk with like this glass partition with a little hole in it. There's a coffee cup sitting on the desk. You transform into a coffee cup sitting on the desk and you roll through that hole. And then all of a sudden you're on the other side of the partition. It's totally
Christ.
Dope. But that's what's important to remember there is you're not controlling an inanimate object. You're becoming a fucking cup or you're becoming a garbage can. How was your day? There was a weird existential bit there in the middle where I was an actual literal garbage can. So that part was a little bit strange. Like my body form ceased to have like a spine and ribs and skin and stuff, and I was a garbage can with a hole full of trash in it.
So hold on a second. When you turn into a garbage can, do you turn into this trash? Do you become trash in that can as well? Did you see? How would that work?
I don't think they get quite that Katamari Damacy on it, but maybe.
Because that seems complicated. If you get a George Costanza coming in there, pulling a cannoli or whatever out of your garbage can and taking it with you, then when you do turn human again, you could be missing a very key body part. And that seems problematic as well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This game, driving history's greatest minds insane.
Yeah, I'm trying to focus on that. I'm mostly just excited about Prey now, but I'm excited about this idea.
Prey's going to be a very good video game.
It's kind of the situation, though, that we're describing is kind of a... like a mind geist situation. You know Geist on the GameCube?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, this is mind geist, where you're trying to... You're in, I don't know, Hitler's office, trying to freak him out? Scare him with a clock?
Yeah, but then we're just talking about Geist. Let's move on. It's been done.
All right, let me get an idea for you then here. Here's one from Daniel of Carol on Twitter, who says, No Man's Sky, but your goal is to find Waldo. which appeals to me because I've only played probably... 3-4 hours of No Man's Sky, but I love this concept that you spend 40 hours plugging away trying to get to the middle of the universe, and then you get there and it's just a dude in a red and white shirt, and the text pops up on screen and says, there he is,
you did it, bye. And then the credits roll and it just says, No Man's Sky, a game by Peter Molyneux.
Yep.
By the way, we should mention that the last episode clocked in at around 57 minutes or so. The original runtime of episode 27.
We got to talk about this.
Was about an hour 26. I cut literally nearly a half hour of us complaining about No Man's Sky out of it. Because listening back to it, it was the most like...
So bratty, huh?
It was the brattiest shit basically fucking ever. Like any sort of salient points we made while talking about the video game No Man's Sky and about delivering on messages and creating those messages while you're in the process of creating an ambitious game, were completely lost by us just fucking complaining. Like, and then sometimes you get blueprints and you've already got the blueprints for 30 fucking minutes.
I would say, here's what I'd say. I think we had some good points. I would say not a fun listen. So I very much stand by the decision to cut that out. Here's an idea from Tulia Lath underscore Tallulah. We'll just say Tallulah on Twitter, who says bullet heck, like bullet hell, but more wholesome.
Is it still very difficult?
That's the question, right? Is the wholesomeness coming from the subject? Because bullet hell games aren't particularly, with a few exceptions, they're not particularly lurid. They're usually pretty, it's just spaceship shooting spaceships.
Well, I mean, I would actually disagree. I feel like most of them have, like, at some point the boss turns into, like, you're shooting the clothes off something.
That's probably 20% of them right there. But for
that's a lot. You understand that 20% is a lot of a game genre for that to be true.
I guess you're right.
It's like if 20% of Call of Duty games were like, and at some point you shoot the clothes off a dude.
Right. If 20% of Madden games had fully robust terrible clothes physics, I think.
Oops! Show's canceled, folks. Because here's the nug. Are you kidding me?
I'm just picturing like. What if that happened in a real football game? Like, if one dude's pants rips and his wiener come out, I think they kind of, he gets a little embarrassed. He cover up his wiener. He goes walk to the bench and sit down. Okay. What if it happens to five players? Like,
that's a lot.
To five players in 90 seconds? How do the refs handle it? How does the live broadcast handle it? Do the cameramen all have to point their cameras straight up at the sky?
Yeah.
There's a lot of logistical issues.
There's a lot of questions.
You know what they say? Well, statistically, the greatest coincidence of all would be if coincidences never happened. And by that logic, I have to imagine that there are so many games of football played a year that it's some point it's going
somebody's
to happen.
Pants get torn
there's
going
to
yeah.
be a football game where all the players' pants fall down and their wing wongs hang out.
So Madden's not going to let us do this.
No,
I with the agreements that they had, the binding agreements that Madden has with the NFL Association, they're not going to let us just like rip off Randy Moss's nasty shorts.
Right? Because there's a fine print that says no asterisk, no wing wongs.
Randy Moss. That's built into everybody's contracts, especially into a player's contract. Mm-hmm. As an esteemed catch rating as Randall Moss. But maybe Backbreaker will let us get it sort of functionality.
Yes, now
in the
we're
game.
Talking. Because Backbreaker, for people who maybe aren't familiar, it was like was it downloadable? It was like an Xbox 360 weird.
No, this was a full-fledged release, I'm pretty sure.
Backbreaker ruled. Backbreaker was a football game, unlicensed, so none of your favorite football teams are in it. Probably.
What were some of the? Can you give me some of the teams that were in Backbreaker?
There was the Buffalo Tossers. There was the.
It wouldn't be Tossers. It definitely wouldn't be Tossers. That's like that's a British derogatory term.
There were the Piss Takers.
Yeah, the Bob's Your Uncle's is
right.
The Groovy Babies.
There's some good ones in there. But the point of that game was that...
I'm going to look up the exact team.
I would love to know. But for people who don't know, Backbreaker was a game where they had none of the football licenses. Instead, what they were hoping they could sell the game on was this extremely robust physics simulation. So the entire game had this like sort of procedural... physics, almost like I guess Grow Home actually isn't a bad comparison. It used kind of the same, I think, Euphoria tech that you saw in games like Star Wars: The Force Awakens, where like you'll drag. Is that what it's called? Star Wars: The Force game?
Unleash.
Thank you. The Force Unleashed, where like if you used the Force and grabbed a stormtrooper and brought him near a ledge, he would like grab onto the rail. It's the same physics that they used when you get drunk in GTA 4 and GTA 5 and your character kind of stumbles around but still is able to stand. They used that tech to make a football game with extremely realistic physics, and it was hilarious. There was actually a Backbreaker XBLA exclusive game that was just a bunch of dumb arcadey minigames with those physics that I really enjoyed.
Sick. All right, I'm just going to read some of the names of the Backbreakers. There's actually a Wikipedia article called The List of Fictional Sports Teams, and I've been scrolling through it. Backbreakers' list of fake teams is actually like better than most.
Pretty good.
Let me tell you about the Baltimore Cannons.
Yes.
Or the Birmingham Irons.
I want to see the Baltimore Cannons logo so bad.
Some of them are a little less good. Like the, the Cincinnati Hogs. Actually, fuck that.
That's great. What are you talking about?
The merchandise of the Cincinnati Hogs. How about the DC Lawmakers?
Okay, it's a little on the nose, a little literal. It's the DC White Houses.
How about the Fresno Wildfires? I doubt that would be, I doubt that one would stick.
That's a little mean. It's like the San Andreas fault lines. Yeah. Not bring up the bad parts. That was I love the idea of all these people, these Natural Motion employees sitting around a table, kind of in a sort of a writer's room vibe where they're all working together on a...
Philadelphia Liberty is my favorite backbreaker sports team and my favorite Billy Joel concept album.
What else do we have?
I mean, there aren't that many. I mean, how about the Miami Thunder? The Michigan Tanks, the Los Angeles Raptors,
Tanks
the Little Rock Maulers. There's some good names.
I'm enjoying these because I'm enjoying having to picture the mascot suit for each of these. Like, is there a man in a big plush tank costume that's kind of a cute tank?
For DC Lawmakers, it could just be the Bill from Schoolhouse Rock.
It's just a Bill. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. But before we move on, Natural Motion, the people who made Backbreaker,
yeah,
they got bought by Zynga.
Oops.
2 years ago, probably because they made a game called Clumsy Ninja, an iPhone game that was like moderately popular, and now I haven't heard from them. I'm sure they're still making games, I'm just not playing them, but Backbreaker should have been a hit. I don't know what happened. Couldn't have been the fact that there were no sports teams in the sports game. It's probably...
Here's the thing. The best fucking football games in the last decade were not made in the Madden franchise. I'm talking about shit like... Backbreaker, I'm talking about like NFL 2K, those sports games beat the shit out of the Madden franchise.
Wasn't there like a Blitz reboot recently that had no real sports teams in it?
There was All Pro Football 2K8. All Pro Football 2K8. Do you remember All Pro Football 2K8? This was a Visual Concepts jam.
I believe it or not, I don't recall that.
And I think this was another one with fictional... Yeah, okay, here's what it was. All the EA has this NFL deal, right? And so 2K wasn't allowed to make their amazing, right, fucking super hyper modular, customizable, amazing RPG like campaign football games anymore. So they realized there's a loophole in the EA NFL contract, and that was that it only covered active players. So 2K individually contracted the individual rights to over 240 retired NFL players to fill out the 24 teams that are in the league. So on each one, you're only going to get like 10 actual players, and the rest are going to be like Hamburger or something like that.
They made a football AU, basically.
Yeah, essentially, and that's how you get shit like the Pittsburgh Ironmen, the fucking Ohio Red Dogs, the Tampa Bay Top Guns.
You can't just do that. That's a film.
The Dallas Gunfighters.
I'm into that.
The Philadelphia Americans. That's one you just can't
literally do. There's no
the
way
the Philadelphia Pennsylvanian American world.
You can't just take the name of the country. If you could do that, everyone would do it. We're America's football team.
Fucking the Dallas Texans. Like, we can't do that IRL in the meat space.
Well, Texans is one thing. Americans is, like, bullshit. Because
we're the Dallas Texans, Americans.
You're
Earth.
Incorporating all the other 49 states that all your competitors are in into the name of your team, and that's Bogota. You cannot just yank that.
Oh, well, me, I play for the...
America.
I play for the New Jersey Assassins, but technically, I guess I also play for the Philadelphia Assassins.
Right, there is, another loophole.
Can I just say 2K? That's maybe the best fucking, like...
So awesome.
It's the best fucking game idea ever. Not that it's, like, the most original concept. It is football. It was a fucking really fun football game. To be like, you have, like, maybe the most lucrative contract in existence in the history of time and space. Let's find that loophole. Okay, well, now we got John Elway, so eat my butt. What's up now? We got Elway in this shit. Does your game have Deion Sanders? Because ours has Deion Sanders in it.
To be a fly on the wall in the room when they decided, are we fucking going for this? Are we going to make a football game with all retired football players? Like,
are we
going
to do this? Does anybody have Jerry Rice's phone number? I got a toot here, and I think it has promised to maybe be the jam. Do you want to get into it?
What do you got?
Sent in by Coolio DeFabio, War Chris on, or War Chris potentially on Twitter, who says, like the show how it's made, but you have to figure it out yourself.
All right.
So here's what I like about this. Mm-hmm. I think it would have full Steam Workshop support, and you could put together assembly lines, right? That would create real life products. And then the play of the game is you enter into one of these that somebody has made, and you just try to work out what is being made, what the process is, where the things go, how they plug in together, mm-hmm. where they snap in, how does this happen to the thing? Or maybe you are told, like, make a million ladders. And you're like, all right, well, I have to put these pieces of this assembly line together to try and put together a million ladders. Let's see if we can figure this thing out.
And, I mean, I also think in order to prevent this from just being Infinifactory, I want there to be a mode that's kind of turns it on its head where you're given a bunch of pieces of an assembly line and you don't know what they're going to make. So you're like,
oh,
all right, what if I put this cylinder here, this thing that looks like the back of a cement mixer, if I move that to the very end and then I've got the glass, liquid hot glass blower in the front, yes. What comes out the other end? It could be anything.
And then once you put it together correctly, you get to skateboard on it, but you got to be careful. You got to be super careful.
You get to, or you have to? Is this a...
You absolutely need to.
Okay.
To find the cure.
For?
The poison.
That was put in you by...
Your own niece.
Okay, so this is a classic poisoned niece poisoning situation where your niece has poisoned you.
Just like the Count of Monte Cristo.
And the sort of overlords in this dystopian world are holding the poison cure. Because your niece hasn't just poisoned you. She's poisoned all of the top skateboarders.
She's poisoned a lot of folks, yeah.
I'm
talking about Bam Margera.
Yeah. And all of his peers and contemporaries that we know by name.
His retinue of jackals.
And so I'm imagining the leadership in this universe is holding the only antidote hostage, yeah. And in order to win it, you have to win this competition, and you need to make the best possible skateboard.
But a lot of your retinue are gonna get, they're just gonna get chomped up.
They're gonna die.
They're gonna grind down one belt, and they're not gonna get off before the, you know, the bleacher or whatever. That, like, just blast them with bleach, and that's it. That's it. Where's Bob Burnquist? He got mashed up. Damn it.
It sounds like you're describing...
Damn my niece.
You're describing a situation where you set up an assembly line, all these different parts. There's a smasher, a hot blaster, all this stuff. And at the other end comes something that it could be used as a skateboard. And your mission is to get on that skateboard and skate back down the assembly line to the beginning point, surviving all the obstacles, including the hot glass blower and the stomper and all these different obstacles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you end up skateboarding your own assembly line back home? So, like, for example, if you make a really easy assembly line with it just spits out a puck of cardboard, that's not that hard for you to skateboard. You'll definitely survive it, but your skateboard is shitty and slow, and you probably won't win the race that way.
I see what you're saying. So the more dangerous the assembly line, the better the board.
Yeah, and it can maybe even take a few hits if you're good. So there's a how it's made component, but there's also a robot battling component to it. There's layers to this.
Can I say something?
Yeah?
I think I'm more excited about the boy band maybe.
I think I am too. Are we at that point where you feel like locking it down, or do we rapid fire? Because I've got a few.
Let's rapid fire, but I really want to dip in.
Yeah,
like I want to role play with you and do a whole campaign.
We could do that. We could walk players. We'll walk players through one 10-minute session in the game. But let's rapid fire real quick and see how we're feeling. Here's one from Casey Kilroy, who says survival game set in an anime, comics, or gaming convention. So I'm headed to PAX next weekend. I'm going to PAX West, and this submission is very close to my heart. For this reason, I've been to about three of those. I'm imagining, I mean, it already feels kind of, if you've been to any convention, E3, PAX, Comic-Con, it feels like you're holding on for dear life, right?
Kind of, yeah, I guess so. That's a weird way of describing what it's like
just
being in one of these.
The density of people is so anxiety-inducing that I often feel like I'm going to die. And maybe this is what the next Dead Rising should be, that you're at a con trying to survive, like some sort of crisis steps in. I'm imagining, like, it sounds like when they say survival game, I'm imagining a multiplayer Steam game with a survival component. So right off the bat, I would say, don't, if we're doing PAX, don't go to the that Subway in the Seattle Convention Center, because everyone's going to head straight there. It's going to be stripped dry of all deli meats right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, the fucking expert level version of this is going to be E3, where there just is no food anywhere.
Right.
And so, like, that's just going to be a short run.
I know,
short,
you
unfair.
You had a good experience enjoying those tacos at E3 this year.
Jesus, don't get me started on these fucking quote-unquote tacos.
They're very pricey, too, if I remember correctly.
It was like, here's $40. What do I get for this? Uncooked taco meat. And, overcooked shells? How'd you swing that? All
right,
whatever.
This has been tough. What do you got?
I got one here from Ricky. It's a two-parter. One from Ricky Romero, who says, you have to smuggle snacks into a movie theater, but you're only wearing shirt and shorts. Mm-hmm. And then follow-up, an alley-oop from Christian Ng.
On the same
Christian
submission?
Ng. Who says, and all the employees are food-sniffing dogs.
Oh,
Christian, slow your roll a little bit, because I think you jumped from A to K there. I think the first... I think it's a... It's like one of those games where, like, the first level is you just have, like, a poncho and JNCO jeans and one small package of Red Vines, and you got to get them in the
front
door. Yeah,
that's easy. That's a tutorial right there.
Level two, same front door, same ticket taker. Maybe they're not JNCOs. Maybe they're you know, a bootcut Levi.
Yeah.
And each time there's just less and less and less stuff. And then by, like, level 23 is, like, now there's dogs. Now you're wearing shorts and T-shirts. Now it's, like, four things are Red Vines and a share size box of Skittles. So you got the rattle. So there is a noise component.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
I love this. Is like a Hitman. 2016 Hitman has this system called escalations. They're these, like, one off missions you can do on every stage. So for the first one, it'll be go kill this chef. And then the second time you replay that mission, it'll be kill this chef with a knife. And the third one will be kill this chef with a knife while dressed as his dad. And then the fourth time, it'll be like, kill the chef with a knife and hide the body within 30 seconds. And also, you have to kill this guy who's halfway across the map within 90 seconds. And you have to stash both their bodies in the same, like, it's
I feel like this podcast is turning to a Hitman advertorial, but like, I want to play this game,
dude,
so
it's
fucking bad.
The tutorial is, like, really good too. It's worth checking out. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good point of reference for how we might escalate it. And then how about we just steal the Hitman model completely? So each month, or every 2 months, like, we're constantly adding new content to this theater. But then, like, in November, we're going to release another theater that has a completely different staff.
Yes.
Maybe this is just a Hitman mod, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's what we're dealing with here.
But, like, you could start doing, like, the IFC theater in New York. Maybe Carnegie Hall is the last level. Like, you're just sneaking bigger and bigger. You're sneaking a foot-long Subway sandwich into, like, the Hollywood Bowl. Do you know what I mean? It's going to keep building and keep building.
When I worked at a movie theater, which I did for about a year and a half, I wouldn't give a shit if people... There was a Starbucks right next door, and so people would, like, get their Starbucks coffee and come into the movie, and I'd be like, yep, you gotta throw that away, because they weren't supposed to bring in any outside food or drink. I didn't give a fuck. I let people come in. There was one thing flip my red flag up, and I would actively deny people, which is if they came to the concession stand and they said, can I just get an empty cup? But they didn't order, like, another drink that maybe they wanted to share it in, or a big thing of popcorn, and they just want to, like, put a small bit in an empty cup that they could give to a friend. Just ordered an empty cup. Do you want to guess why they would just need, like, a plain empty cup?
All my guesses are gross. So what's the actual reason?
Oh, for their dip. Spit their dip out into.
Okay, not for the...
And then just sort of leave it there on the ground, so when you're walking through, like, picking up napkins and stuff while you clean up the aisles, you just you fucking punt it,
right?
15 yards,
so,
and it gets everywhere.
By accommodating the request, you were actually making future Griffin's life a lot harder. So I'm imagining you learned that and decided to no longer give out those cups. Is that what happened?
People would be like, can I have an empty cup? I'd be like, sorry, it's against policy unless you order something else.
I think I'm pretty laissez-faire, though, in general, about people bringing food into theaters. I think where I draw the line is I had one childhood friend, like, 8 years ago, he did this, and I still think about it, like, twice a week. We went to go see a movie at the local movie theater, and he had brought in, like, a small bag, and in the middle of the movie, he pulls up this paper bag, and he opens it up, and he reaches inside, and he pulls out a to-go container of clam chowder. Which is, like, by every conceivable metric, I guess, except for noise, it's quieter than popcorn, so you got that going for it. But it's, like, it's a liquid. It's got quite an odor to it. It requires a utensil. Like, it breaks every law of theater code in a way that I've never been able to fully forgive him for.
I went to see Drive Angry shot in 3D in the dead of winter while living in Chicago with a big group of friends. And two of the people in this group snuck in a big bottle of whiskey that we were then going to... The idea is that we were going to pass these two bottles of whiskey up and down the aisle and continue refreshing our drinks. So we were blackout drunk by the time we had reached the end of the movie, Drive Angry shot in 3D starring Nicolas Cage. Only one of our conspirators, the bottle broke in his jacket. And so he kind of disappeared for a long time and basically gave himself a bathroom bath and tried to get the stink off of him. But no avail. He came home, he came back to the aisle just reeking of sin.
Louise.
And then had to like walk home in the snow.
How do you break that bottle in that
way? That's a fucking super duper good question. I didn't have an answer for that.
I live with two men. I have two roommates. And when one of them was out of town, I went with the other to go see One Cloverfield Lane. Is that what it's called? One Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane. My roommate decides to make a little snack pack. So he's put a little, some chocolate almonds in there, all sorts of stuff. And he also decides to bring in a glass San Pellegrino bottle from the fridge that belongs to my other roommate who's like out of town in Los Angeles. So we're like in the theater. It's like a very climactic scene in a very tense thriller of a movie. And my roommate like elbows the bottle and knocks it to the ground. And it just loudly just the scene was also, by the way, dead silent. Like the protagonist is like hiding in a closet or something and just shatters glass super loud all over the theater. And then like 2 days later, my roommate gets home and is like, hey, have you guys... Did I leave a bottle of Pelly in the fridge? And I, at that point, actually did not know that it was stolen. And I was like,
yeah.
Chad, I have a story for you.
So many bad things happened.
It died, and it died a pretty crazy death for a drink to die.
Can I say something, though?
Yeah.
If your roommate called it a bottle of Pelly, they didn't deserve to have it in the first place.
You don't get that bottle. Yeah, I bought him a SodaStream as a gift, though, for his birthday.
That is sweet.
Now we're Pelly free.
How about we get back into Boy Band Maker?
Sure.
And we just really dip both hands in. Like, because I'm fucking loving it.
I like it a lot, too. I want to know, let's pick the focal points, the core tenets. What are the core principles of this game? What are going to be the bullet points on the back of the box? Like, what excites you most about Boy Band Maker?
I mean, just a lot of boy, like infinite boy. Can you make a girl group? Can you make a Spice Girl? I feel like that's a Pokemon X, Pokemon Y, so maybe.
I don't want to get totally Ubisoft here, but that's a lot of extra animation.
Ubisoft, I can't believe how often I have to correct you in the pronunciation of the name Ubisoft.
Yeah, whatever. I think that that's a different product. I feel like if we do that, we want to do it justice and we want to put its own time and resources into it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. No, the model, the character models will take way too long
to make, unfortunately, for that. No, I think we focus on contemporary boy bands. I think, how do we, cause this game has potential crossover appeal, I think, big time with like kind of the casual
for sure.
audience. How do we swing that? How do we make sure that it reaches that?
I think the management side of it will be sort of like a Kairosoft game, right?
Yeah. So, like game dev story, you mean?
Game dev story, all that. And so you hire boys and they join your group and you pick sort of like a genre and then there's like 10 stats, right? What are the stats? Cute, cool, cute. Here, I'll write them down.
Please do. Jot them down. We got cute, cool, armor.
Hold on. Let's do the performance stats first and then we'll get into battle stats. Cute, cool, sing.
I think hair is really important.
Well, hair can be, okay. Can you be, yeah, all right. Cute, cool, sing, hair, danger, right?
Yeah, bad boy. But you can only, I think there needs to be a component of like, if you have too many bad boys in the group, that's a problem. But if you got
you've got to be bound. You can't have an all dangerous group. Are you
right.
kidding me?
Exactly. There's diminishing returns
cute,
on that
cool,
big time.
Sing, hair,
bad.
Bad?
Well, I was thinking bad like bad boys, but if you want to do danger, we'll do danger.
How about this? Maturity.
Maturity. Now there is
mystery.
I think there's a meter that is beyond your control, which is just the puberty meter. And
that one's just counting up. Yeah, that's the
constantly ticking up.
That's the Kevin Spacey coma clock.
Right, yeah, that's the Kevin Spacey coma clock of this game. And it's also problematic because, like, you don't know what's going to happen when that switch flips. It could be like when you could have a moment where it's like in XCOM when one of your teammates just loses their marbles and starts shooting everyone.
For sure.
Like, when your guy hits puberty, he could decide to leave the band. He could lose his singing voice. He could get extremely ugly. There are all these possibilities.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to keep your eyes peeled for it?
Cool. Sing, hair, danger, maturity, mystery. Pubes. I mean, like, what?
I was just shortening the puberty one to P-U-B, so we'll just call it pube.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. I'll put it in parentheses next to puberty spelled out normally, and then we can like really dissect whether or not we want to call it pubes.
Mm-hmm. For now, let's just erase puberty and put down pubes and for short, and then maybe later if we want to go ahead and put your name back in, we can do that.
What about...
is dance? Like, do we not have dance yet? What are we doing here?
Well, I mean, dance could be... I think dance has got to be in there.
It's so crucial.
But I mean, all of ideally, you can't have... Here's the thing about dance, the dance stat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that stat can be too much of a variable. Because, like, if in NSYNC, obviously, like, Justin Timberlake was the Michael Jordan of the group, right? Like, the stats were too crazy and you weren't allowed to play as the Bulls.
Right.
A lot of sports talk this episode. But I think everybody else was pretty close to his level, right? If it was like you couldn't have like a Justin Timberlake and then like a complete joke of a boy out there, because the discrepancy there would be just be the thing would a boy band is like a good piece of like Roman architecture where if one of the pillars is too short, the whole thing
tumbles down. Yeah, you could have a great dancer, but in some situations that's a liability if the rest of your boys can't keep up.
Yeah, but regardless, we want the stat in the game. It's that the balancing that is going to be actually kind of a difficult
thing. I think so. I think that's important.
Cute, cool, sing, dance, hair, danger, maturity, mystery. Do we want to have just like sex appeal in there, or is that sort of a composite stat based on...
I think sexy, and then I think, yeah, sexy goes next to charming, and you don't want to have too much of both because that... Or sorry, sexy goes next to cute. I think charm needs to be a component in the sense of like how well they conduct themselves in interviews, how well they do, how their social media presence is obviously going to be a huge component in 2K16. That's a factor. How do we turn these into meters?
All right, so this is breaking down into a few categories now that I'm kind of seeing it, and it is like the boy personality categories, and that's like, is he cute, is he cool, is he sexy, and how's his hair,
do we have
is
his physiology? Yeah, physiology goes in there too then, right? So hair, dance, etc.
No, is he dangerous, is he mature, is he mysterious? And then there's like performance categories, like, okay, well, he's cute and cool, how does he fucking sing, how's he dance, is he good at those, does he have any kind of specialty, is he flexible, can he jump very high?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we have the puberty Kevin Spacey clone cock,
right?
I said cloma cock there,
yeah,
which
you
is
did.
Not...
Cloma cock, by the way, is a very rare condition. If you have it, I definitely recommend seeing a doctor.
What's really weird, Kevin Spacey's got it.
He's got...
That's why he doesn't do nude seeds.
Is it cloma or chroma? Because chroma cock sounds kind of beautiful.
Sounds actually amazing.
Yeah. No, I love this idea. I think, like, let's talk a little more broadly about the managerial aspects of it, because let's say you make a band full of beautiful, charming boys who can't sing and can barely dance, you could put a lot of your resources, like game dev story style, into like getting really great auto-tune software, every time they do SNL there's like a backing track and they're lip syncing, like managing that side of it could be just
spend
as
spend money on producer, right?
Yes.
And then like you get that producer to like produce the fuck out of a single album, and then you ride that to like movie deals, and you know what I mean, like that's got to be part of it.
You could be like a kind of a the star that shines brightest burns the fastest or some shit, where you have like a quick hit, you're going for a one hit wonder intentionally. Yeah. Or if you've got a career boy who you find you expect to do very, very, very well, maybe you've genetically engineered this boy with the new expansion pack that allows you to do that, you can make the perfect boy who you intend to be kind of a lifer and have kind of a Bieber style decade plus career.
And you could, I mean, there's other things you could do, like maybe just the music isn't very challenging, right? Like there's not a lot of range to the songs that you make for these beautiful, beautiful monsters, right? And I think that could be incorporated into gameplay like super duper easily. Like if you're a producer and you've got boys that can't perform really well, then maybe it's like the actual Guitar Man style performing. It's going to be a lot more difficult, but you get power ups and you can use those power ups.
Like
you
what?
Know what I mean?
And what would the metaphor?
I mean,
auto
tune would literally just be like
The game plays itself?
The game fucking plays itself. You stay on the track. Well, no, you still have to press the X button. You just don't have to, like, move the analog stick.
Got it. Okay. I'm loving this. I think it's important to me, because I care a lot about rhythm games, that we make sure that component of it is not some lackluster bullshit. I want it to be the best. I want rhythm game purists. I want it to be like a pre-para situation where, like, people come in and play it even though they don't give a shit about the stickers that the machine is printing out, because they want to play that rhythm game so bad. I want people to... I want just to get the hardcore Bimani kids and the people who are playing like the Kim Kardashian iPad game.
They're all coming in. They're all coming in. Because here's the thing. These boys are going to be hyper-customizable. Mm. Hyper-customizable. No two boy bands are going to be the same. So there's going to be a lot of social media functionality of you like sharing not only what your band looks like, but their best fucking performances, like in Tomodachi Life. Like, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So good. We got to have – it plugs right into Twitter. You can post videos of your band. You can, God, this is so great. You can follow other people's bands in the game. So, like,
oh my God,
when they have an album come
out. Nicholas.
This is so great.
Nicholas. Fuck, I'm going to take the battle thing out because we're too actually good to a genuinely good idea here for us to, like, shit all over it. I think the way that competition works is you and a friend challenge each other and you get a single performance. You get a single performance, and it's, again, if you back out, then the other person immediately wins. You got to put up what you record on a single run, and then both videos get put up, and then you do, like, a Twitter poll, like, online vote for which one. So that way people are watching the performances. They're engaging with the game. They're engaging with the players of the game in a very real way.
I love this. I love this. So you're constantly going to – you'll want to be matched against people who have a similar following to your band. One thing that is still kind of the big question mark for me, Griffin, is – we've got obviously unique boys for every player. We've got a unique build out. We've got unique personality traits. All that can be randomized very easily. Yeah. How does the music work? Like the music you hear in the game, is that randomized somehow? Is that generated procedurally? How hard would it be to generate infinite pop songs?
I don't know about infinite pop songs. If we went the Vocaloid route, which you know I want to go.
Yeah.
You know I want to go that route. I think we could, it would certainly be much, much easier to put a fuck ton of music in the game. And keep it updated, keep it coming, keep it coming, keep it coming, which is going to keep people engaged, it's going to keep people on board.
I have to ask this because I think it seems like a no-brainer. People are going to kill us if we don't say this. I want to know, is Sean Murray busy? Is now that No Man's Sky is out, can we get him to just maths this into a infinite music game?
He knows how to like compress things,
right?
That would be, I would love to hear, just like take No Man's Sky, copy all rocks and shitty dinosaurs,
change the word planets to notes,
replace dinosaurs with beats, and then
I love this.
I think let me
it's a Bieber generator, every Bieb procedural.
I think it would be like, hold on, let me.
Are you going to procedurally generate a song for us right now? Got it. Five hops this time.
So, and then you would definitely, and then it would be like, what would it layer on next?
Well, next, obviously, we need a guitar. Yes!
So, what would you want, like a C chord?
I think start with a C chord and then just kind of follow your heart.
I just accidentally changed what I just recorded into... Hold on, I've goofed.
Did you just turn all the percussion into guitar notes?
Does that answer your question?
I think it does. Come on, get it together. I want to hear the percussion with the guitars over it. Love this. Ooh, that ending... Rugrats, I guess, again, procedurally generated, you would end up with a little bit of the Rugrats.
That's the thing about coincidences, is that it's more likely that there will be them.
Mm-hmm. It's more likely that you will generate the Rugrats theme every single time than that you won't.
So I'm going to loop the percussion, because that's how they, I mean, No Man's Sky uses a lot of looping, if you know what I mean. What's the next thing that would come in after for the No Man's Sky music?
I think we need one more instrumental element, the piano.
Well, there's a lot of like super good synth in GarageBand. I don't know if you...
I This new... Ugh. Why does it... Sounds almost like that Hello Kitty game we played in some spots.
So then we just, like... And then you get the boy singing over it, like, girl, I wanna take you to the dance with me tonight. Come on, yeah!
That's promising.
And that took me... How long did that take me? That took me, like, 3 minutes. That's one song in the fucking can.
If they just start the... They turn the servers on tomorrow, they can have millions of songs done by launch day. You know what I mean?
As long as Hello Games just lets us borrow that engine. Which I don't think... I don't see why not.
I don't think that'll be a problem.
You're not going to use it for anything else, so come on.
Yeah, hey, fork it over, buddy.
Fork it over. Don't be such a greedy pig. Don't be such a Cincinnati hog.
Exactly. Griffin, this game seems very good.
Yeah, I would play the fuck out of this
game. I want
this
to exist.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm still a little, I gotta be honest, I'm still a little horned up about that Hitman mod where you're sneaking candy into a theater, but this is also great. They're both great.
I could do the soundtrack for that one too.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
That sounds like the Rugrats theme song.
Weird.
What's the game called?
Boys. No.
Cuties.
Cute.
No, because they're not all going to be cute, is it?
That's true. The Idol Master. No. The word pop's got to be in there.
Too cute to be forgotten.
With the numbers?
Yeah.
That's very long, Griffin.
Do we just call it 224? Like, in the know? People in the know?
Yeah. Oh, man, you get that new 224 expansion?
Did you get the new pack? It's got new songs.
It makes the music even worse. It's excellent.
It's got one that sounds like a drum set being thrown down a flight of stairs under the Doug theme song.
It's very good.
It's really, really good.
But every song is different, so that part's
But all the songs are completely different. But they all kind of sound like the Rugrats theme. Like, all the songs are, like, super different, and, like, sometimes you're on one, and you're like, whoa, this one's amazing. But if you look...
The topography of the song, the waveform is still shaped mostly. We're veering dangerously close into to episode 28 territory here, Griffin.
Oh, fuck. What's the game called?
Do we? I don't know how much our technique has been working lately.
Me and you, here we go. I'll do a word about boys. You do a word about bands. Here it comes.
How about bands?
Three, two, one.
Brothers.
Teen Brothers.
I was thinking like maybe a Jonas Brothers.
Okay,
vibe.
Hold on. But you were supposed to do the band word.
Yeah,
and you
like
said
a boy
boys
band.
Word.
I guess that is a boys word, isn't it? Shit.
Isn't it? Oh, no. What if I had said brothers?
Yeah, fuck. What would I have said? Three,
two, one.
Backstreet.
Incorporated.
Backstreet Incorporated. Is
you can't call it fucking Backstreet.
Yes, you can. They don't have the fucking copyright on Backstreet. Are you joking? They have Backstreet Boys. But I think Backstreet Inc.
But it's going to muddy the waters. Like, I do want beautiful K-pop groups or, like, edgy, sort of, like, hip-pop fusion groups coming into the mix. I don't want everybody to come in and be like, oh, well, I guess the only way to win is to make the Backstreet Boys again.
Well, the problem, okay. I mean, the problem, Griffin, what you want is so incredibly broad that the only thing that could possibly cover all of it would be the term boy band or boys. So Boys Incorporated...
No, it doesn't have to be boys. It could be teens. It could be young adults. It could be young men.
Yeah. Young Men Incorporated and Teens Incorporated are not products I wanted to put out into the world. That's...
Young Men's Club.
Business. Business Boys.
Industry.
Business
industry.
Teens.
Boys industry. Industry Boys.
Industry Boys. It's stupid. Can we use it?
Industry Boys.
And then if you install the After Dark mod, they're Indiscreet Boys.
Can you give me a sample spoon of the punctuation, sort of the syntax of Indiscreet Boys?
I think it's the first half of the word industry and the last half of the word backstreet. Perfectly portmanteaued together into Indiscreet. I think maybe the S is capitalized. We got a camel case thing. Because I feel like if you see that on the shelf, Indiscreet Boys, the human brain sees Street Boys and immediately thinks boy band.
Got a hit.
You like it?
I like it. This has been Cool Games Inc. Video Game Design Podcast. Oh man, I meant to keep this one tight.
Uh-oh.
Didn't do it, did we?
No, we went a little long, but it's all good. The thing is, there's a lot of good meat on these bones for you to strip away.
And I'm not going to have to edit out 30 minutes of this while we complain about not being able to find the right blaster.
Right, as long
parts.
As we couch our whininess in jokes, I think it's fine.
Thanks for listening to Cool Games Inc. We'll be back next week with another episode. If you wouldn't mind telling a friend and tweeting about the show and spreading the word any way you can, we appreciate it. We've started to do weekly YouTube videos that Clayton at Polygon has been putting together for us. They're really fucking great.
They're sick. What was this week's episode? Was it was, gosh, what was it?
It was you. It was the dash button.
The Amazon dash button incident. We have a YouTube version of that. So if you want to ever share Cool Games Inc. with a friend, the best way to do that is probably just send them one of those 2-minute YouTube videos. That'll tell them everything they need to know. I'll go ahead and spoil what we've got coming on Monday. You're going to really love this.
Do you have it? I haven't seen it.
I've seen an early cut of it. It's going to be the Dance Hunter, the Vengabus one with Patrick Klepek.
Okay.
So look forward to that.
Also, Nick and I do a series that called Car Boys, which we did as a one-off thing of us playing this bonkers game called beam.ng.drive, and I thought it was just going to be one video, and then Nick was like, let's turn it into a series, and I was like, I don't think it's got it's got legs. It's, holy shit,
Griffin,
this game.
I am, like, here's the thing, that just a peek behind the scenes on beam.ng.drive, we've sort of nailed it down. We're going to do a new episode every Thursday as long as it still feels worth doing, I think. Griffin, I'm harboring so many BeamNG dot secrets from you. There are so many features in that game that I know about that I haven't shared with you yet that, like, I honestly feel like we have content for days. There's so much in there.
It's a magnificent game. Anyway, thanks for listening. Join us next week. We'll see you then. Until then, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fine.